like you to turn with me, please, to the passage of Scripture that we read together. Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 8. And I'd like us, ultimately, to consider verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. And I want to speak about being led by the Spirit of God. But before I can come to verse 14, there are a number of other things, other matters that I want to introduce first, so that we might understand it aright. So, first of all, by way of introduction, Paul has explained in this letter that a Christian is one who has died to sin. Christian has heard the gospel, has been convinced of his or her sin, has believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, and has been added to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what the Apostle Paul says in chapter 6 of this letter, he says that the Christian is one who has died to sin. And the Apostle Paul in that chapter, he's saying that in the forgiveness that we've received, we've been granted an abundance of grace. Grace to forgive us our sins. And Paul meets with an objection or a misunderstanding. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? And Paul is describing us as Christians as those who have died to sin. We have been saved from sin so that we might live to God, live for God. Another thing that the Apostle Paul says about us, that's in the next chapter, chapter 7, verse 4. He says that the Christian is one who has become dead to the law through the body of Christ. That is, that law which condemns us and shows us our sin, the Christian has become dead to the law. But again, he doesn't mean that we can live as we like. That would make nonsense of the meaning of the gospel, that in the gospel we are saved from our sin. It would be nonsense to continue in that from which we have been saved. And the Apostle Paul spends the previous chapter, chapter 7, showing that the main function of the law is to show us our sin. That is the commandments of God, to show us our sin and to show us our need for forgiveness. And he does that most powerfully. But then he ends chapter 7 saying that the law not only shows the sin of the unbeliever to bring them to Christ, but the law still shows us our sin and shows us our need of forgiveness day by day, our need of being kept close to Christ. Christ has died for us and lives again. And for those who are united to him by faith, there can be no condemnation, because he has borne our sins. God has punished our sins in him. Now, in this chapter that we're looking at, Paul then begins to address the problems of the Christian life. That we are dead to sin, dead to the law, and we are to live for God. We are to put to death the sins that are within us. But the trouble is that although we are saved, although we cannot be condemned, our trouble is, well, my trouble is, that I often do not feel saved. I do not feel the magnitude of the change that has taken place within me. And this is true of every Christian from time to time. And Paul addresses the problem of the Christian life in this particular chapter. Not the problem, the issue of the Christian life. And before we get to verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, I want us to concentrate on verses 9 to 11, where the Apostle Paul says, he talks about those in the flesh, those who are in the Spirit. And he says in verse 8, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. And the Apostle Paul here shows us and tells us that we are not only forgiven, but we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. And that is a wonderful privilege for every one of the Lord's people. And my first point is this, that all Christians are indwelt by the Spirit of God. Every Christian, whatever we feel like, whatever our performance from day to day, we are indwelt by the Spirit of God. Now, this is, we are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And that is the negative way of saying that all Christians do have the Spirit of Christ, and we are his. Every Christian is indwelt by God, the Holy Spirit. And the Apostle Paul tells us what is our condition by nature. We are in the flesh. We do the deeds of the flesh. We live apart from God. We are separated from God. Our condition by nature is one of being lost and being sinful in the flesh. And we know, if we are Christians, that there was a day that came in our lives when we saw that we were sinners. We heard the gospel, we heard the preaching of the word, a Christian spoke to us, or we read the word of God, we read a book opening up the word of God, and we saw how sinful we were. The law began, the commandments of God began to work in us, and we saw what we were like. And we came to see that Christ had died in the place of sinners. He had condemned sin for us. We came to see that, didn't we? And we believed in Christ. We asked for mercy, and in asking for mercy, that is the first act of a renewed soul. And in coming to Christ and in believing in him we showed that the Spirit of God had worked within us, and we were born again. But not only did the Spirit of God work within us to give us new hearts, he came and dwelt within us, and he does dwell within us, and he does so to lead us away from the works of the flesh, to lead us in a different direction, to lead us in service to God. And having the Spirit is the certain sign that we belong to Christ. And that is what Paul says in verse 9. If the Spirit of God dwells in us, then we belong to Christ. If anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. He is not his. So all Christians are indwelt by the Spirit of God. And secondly, he indwells us so that we might be led by him, that is, live for Christ and live for God. We are now controlled by him. The Spirit of God dwells in us. We are led by him. And we belong to Christ, and we are indwelt by the Spirit of God. Just think about it, that every Christian has been chosen by God, loved by God, has been died for and loved by the Lord Jesus Christ, and has been convinced and given a new heart by the Holy Spirit, and is indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God to lead us in the things of Christ. Every Christian has been worked upon and loved and changed by the triune God, the maker of heaven and earth, the only true God, and we belong to him, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we know this most powerfully through the Lord Jesus Christ. So the Spirit of God indwells every Christian, that we might be led by him to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. And in verse 13 we read that if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. So we are empowered to put to death the deeds of the body. That is, to fight against sin and to mortify the sins of the body, those things within us which we were once utterly mastered by. Those things which dishonor the Lord, the Spirit of God enables us to put to death the things of the body, and we are led by him. How are we led? Well, I'll come to that later on. But he becomes, for every Christian, the Spirit of sonship. When he indwells the heart of the believer, he gives us that feeling, that sense of belonging to God, so that God is our Father. And we pray to God as our Father. And the purpose of the Spirit's indwelling is to keep us, to lead us through this life, and to raise us up at the last day. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. The Spirit of God dwells in us and keeps us so that at the last day we will have our mortal bodies given life, so that body and soul we will live for Christ and with Christ throughout eternity. So the Christians are indwelt by the Spirit of God. He indwells us all so that we might be led by him to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. And his ultimate purpose is to raise our mortal bodies, just like he raised the body of the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead. That's his ultimate purpose. So we have been saved, and we have been given a new heart. We will be raised. But there's a long time between being saved and being raised from the dead. So my third point is, what happens between conversion and glory? We are told that we live our lives indwelt by him, and we seek to cultivate the mind of the Spirit. This is part of being led by him. But what do we actually find in practice? We find the same as the Apostle Paul did in the end of chapter 7. He found that as he thought on the commands of God, the commands of Christ, and the requirements of the law, he found that what the Lord did was to make us so aware of our sin. So much so that the Apostle Paul says, O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me? And this is the man who is indwelt by the Spirit of God, who cries out, Abba, Father, and who rejoices in the hope of salvation. The same man bewails his sin. And that's what we find. We find that we are indwelt, we have been saved, but we are so conscious of our sin. And the Apostle Paul, in verse 10, he tells us why. And he tells us why that we rejoice in the hope of salvation and bewail our sin at the same time. And it is this: and if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Now, before I go any further, there's a problem here, not in the scriptures themselves, but in the translation. Because you see, in verse 10, in our version, it says, the Spirit is life, and Spirit is given a capital S. And in the Greek, there aren't any capitals. The word Spirit is used loads of times in this very chapter. And in the vast majority of cases, the word refers to the Holy Spirit, and is rightly given the capital S to indicate that we are talking of the divine person. But the word Spirit is also used in verse 15. We did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. And that's just awareness, that condition of bondage, that awareness that we are in bondage. And that isn't a person at all. And the verse 10, Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. And some versions give a capital S, some versions give a small s. And it's a matter of translation. It's a matter of judgment as to what exactly it is that the Apostle Paul is saying. Now, if I was the only one who had come to this conclusion, I would keep my mouth shut. But it's not just me. There are some who believe that this verse, the Spirit, is referring to our spirits. And what the Apostle Paul is doing here is giving us the key to the problem that we have in our Christian lives. And that is that our bodies are still subject to death, and the workings of death are still at work in our bodies. But we have been made alive by the Spirit of God, by the Holy Spirit, and we have been given new hearts, and we have been born again. So while we are here on earth, while we are living the Christian life, while we are awaiting the consummation, we are hybrids, or half and half, I don't know how to put it. But before we were saved, we were entirely flesh. We were entirely of this world. When we are in glory, we will be entirely holy, entirely good. But here, we have bodies which are subject to death, and the motions of death, and we have spirits which have been made anew. So the body is dead because of our sin, and our spirits are alive, they are life, because of the righteousness which has been imputed to us through the Lord Jesus Christ in the gospel. And this is the problem that we have. And we are live spirits in dead or dying bodies. And therefore, we are given this promise in verse 11 to encourage us. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. And so you see, the Spirit dwells within us, and he keeps us, and we have this promise that he will one day raise our bodies and give us the glorified bodies which are promised in the gospel. So that's what happens to us now. We are those who are subject to death. We feel the motions of sin within the members of our dying bodies. But we have spirits that wish to love God and to serve him. Oh, that we could serve him better. Oh, that we could love him more. This is our desire, isn't it? And sometimes it gets us down. But here is the word of God to tell us that this is only for a while. It's only until the Lord Jesus Christ comes again. And that the life of the Spirit is stronger than the death of our bodies, and that we are able, by God's grace, to live to the glory of God. So that brings me finally to verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. The Holy Spirit dwells within all God's people, and we are children of God, sons and daughters of the living God, because we are saved by grace and we are kept by the indwelling Spirit. And the wording of verse 14 is very, very strong, because it says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. The implication being these and only these. And so to be led by the Spirit of God, to be indwelt by the Spirit of God, it's not for some elite. It is the privilege and the joy of every Christian. Every one of us who belongs to Christ in this room is indwelt by the Spirit of God, and we are led by him. So how does he lead? Well, he works within us, and he does not lead us without any reference to anything outside us, as though we were led and spoken to without any instruction, without any help at all. He leads our thoughts to our Saviour, and he leads us primarily into all the truth concerning him. That's what the Saviour promised. When he has come, he will lead you into all truth. And he did that with the apostles. He led them, he inspired them, and he caused them to write down all the scriptures infallibly. It is called not just the Word of God, the Word of Christ, and the Word of the Spirit. Often in a quote we have, as the Holy Spirit says. And so it's his word. Why is it his word? Well, it's his word for us. And it's not just inspired by him and given to us for us to read in our own strength. He dwells within us, and he causes us to love that word and to desire to be guided by it. So, first of all, he leads our thoughts to our Saviour and into all the truth concerning him, so that we desire and actually do, in a measure, love him and serve him. And in verse 15, we see that he also leads us out of bondage. We did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. He leads us unto the understanding and the appreciation of what has been done for us. We are sinners still, but we have been adopted into Christ's family. And God has become our Father. And we cry to him and we pray to him as Father because we have been adopted. We're not born Christians. We're not born holy. We are made Christ's, and we are forgiven. We have been adopted. And the Holy Spirit leads us away from that spirit of bondage which characterized us before ever we knew the Lord, and which made us afraid. A Christian fears God in the right way, but does not have that abject fear which is characteristic of the ungodly under conviction. And then he leads us into true prayer in verse 26 of this same chapter. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weakness, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Those times when we are unable to express what we want before the Lord, and our hearts groan within us, that is the work of the Spirit. And he grants us true prayer, and he helps us, so that even when we are groaning in our prayers, he helps us and comforts us into knowing that he is praying for us. He is leading us into true prayer. And then fifthly, he leads us into that confident hope of sonship, verse 16. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. When we have those occasions, and when we have that sense that we are not our own, but we belong to Christ, that is the work of the Holy Spirit, and he gives us that sense of coming to future glory. So there are many things to help us on our way. You see, we're not on our own. We have the Word of God. We have one another. We have prayer and fellowship. But in all this, what makes them valuable to us is that the Spirit of God leads us so that we benefit from one another's fellowship, that we benefit from the Word of God, and that we benefit from seeking to pray to God. Now, to be led by Him is not an aim, it's a fact. We are led by the Spirit of God. We're not trying to be led. We are trying to be more obedient, but we are led by Him. Do we have any relish for the Word of God? He grants it to us, and He will give more relish as we ask Him. So we are to be led by Him is a fact, not a name. And we must not, therefore, be rebellious children. We must be those who delight in the work of the Spirit. We are told not to grieve the Spirit, not to anger Him. He is the Holy Spirit. And as the Lord's people, by His aid and by His help, we must deny ourselves and cultivate what to love what He loves. We desire and we must cultivate that frame of mind, which is the frame of mind which our Lord Jesus Christ has, and which is holy, and which is good, and we must love what God loves. We must love what our Saviour loves, what He loves to see in His children, and we must work through our lives, knowing that the Spirit is helping us in our infirmity. He's helping us and He is leading us to that abundant entrance into glory and that final resurrection of our mortal bodies. So there is this wonderful statement here: for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. So if you see someone who loves the Word of God and who is delving into it to learn more of the Saviour, he is indwelt by the Spirit, and he is led by the Spirit of God. You see someone who hates what he was, or what she was, and who hates the thoughts which dishonour the Lord, and who desires to be more like the Saviour, that is someone who is indwelt by the Spirit and is led by the Spirit. The mark of being a true Christian is to be led by the Spirit of God, to have the Spirit of God. And it is nothing indefinable. It is a very definite and true thing. So may we, every one of us, if we are the Lord's, may we work seek to be led obediently and to love what God loves, to love what the Holy Spirit causes us to love. And let us not be disobedient children. And if there are any of us here that are not the Lord's, there is only one way, and that is to ask God for mercy for Christ's sake. And if you find that you cry for mercy, you are receiving that first gift of the Holy Spirit, which is to be born again. May God move you to call upon Him. So, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these and these alone are the sons of God. Amen.